Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me for today's SMIE Consulting Midweek Roundup. I'm your host, Marty Bennett, and today we'll be covering three important issues that crossed our news feeds in the last 7 days, including stories on postgraduate employment and the views of international students as it impacts their willingness to stay in country. We'll also look at a postgraduate survey of international students, the largest and first of its kind, that looked at international students in Britain and their reflections on their time in their studies in the United Kingdom and what that meant for them moving forward in their lives. So very interested to see what that survey has to say, but also looking forward to your contributions today to our midweek roundup on this important issue. Our final topic of the day will also cover China and how U.S. academia are fighting back, finally, against a lot of the negative impressions that the current administration has related to China itself, the trade war, and all the wonderful things that have and have not been happening related to visa processing for Chinese students and scholars coming to the United States or attempting to renew their visas. So we'll cover all that and more. But before we get into that, I wanted to certainly remind everybody of SMIE Consulting, that's Social Media and International Ed Consulting. Our midweek roundup is a reflection of some of the news stories we cover each week in our e-newsletter. And if you haven't already subscribed to the e-newsletter, I'm putting up the link to that newsletter on the comments section on the Facebook page. Also encourage any of you who haven't subscribed, please do. That'll mean that you'll catch these stories each week. And Eric, thanks for joining. Good to see you, and hope you're well. And looking forward today to talking about these three important issues. If you haven't already subscribed to the newsletter, please do so. The link to the newsletter that comes out Monday mornings is in the comments section. That newsletter comes out Monday morning at 9 a.m., and three of the news stories that we cover in that newsletter will make the bulk of what we'll talk about each Wednesday during the midweek roundup. So hopefully you find that productive. If you prefer to listen to this each week, we also podcast the midweek roundup as well, available on all major podcasting platforms, so Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, whatever your taste may be, please choose to subscribe to the podcast as well. And if you like to listen to it on your runs or just to put yourself to sleep each night, so hopefully you find that useful. So let's start with our first topic of the day, and that is coming out of Australia. Has to do with a recent survey there about postgraduates' international impressions of their time in Australia and their ability to seek employment afterwards. And the story was covered in the Pi News regarding this the recent report, and it made the title claim that political rhetoric is a substantial barrier to international graduate employment. So there's a couple different levels of the story. That's not necessarily the focus of the story, but certainly one that I think we can all relate to here in the United States related to political rhetoric and impacting perceived and or real consequences for international students and their ability to find employment after graduation. And why? And I've focused on this a lot in the last few months related to international students in the United States as to what's important, what are priorities for them as to why they choose certain destination countries. We've talked about it recently as it impacts why Canada has seen such a dramatic increase in their international student populations recently. And we have a lot of evidence that points to not just our own political drama here in the United States, but also Canada's certainly more welcoming and open attitude towards immigration and also work as a natural consequence of study in Canada, and with much more favorable immigration regulations on that front, that has led to a dramatic increase in student interest in Canada from India, China as well, and Vietnam. But we see this, and this story covering this survey in Australia, does seem to indicate something that perhaps we don't have enough of here in the United States. That one of the key authors, lead author of the report, Brett Berquist, indicated that what really struck me, this is quote, what really struck me was to see that all of the policymakers do understand the whole importance of this attraction, that meaning employment to international students. And he found similarities in other countries, and they looked at New Zealand and the UK and a couple others as well. But in reference to Berquist's report, role in the report, he's also the University of Auckland's Director of International, added there were similar levels of public support for post-study work rights, but political rhetoric remained a substantial barrier. So it seems that in other countries, the policy wonks certainly understand the implications, the positive implications and benefits of international students and their employment after they finish their studies. But it also looked at, from a student perspective, in Australia, their work visa is called the 485 visa. And it looked at over 800 respondents and found that 37% of graduates, international student graduates of Australian institutions who stayed in, who remained in Australia to work, obtained full-time employment within their field of study. Another 13% found part-time or casual work, while 16% were still looking for a job. The remainder found some level of work outside their study area. So probably another third were working outside their field of study, which in the U.S. that legally certainly wouldn't be possible given the OPT requirements that we have here. So there were fairly high overall employment rates. Only 47% of students said that they were satisfied with the 485 visa. Many students saw a disconnect between their studies and the work after studies, and maybe that has to do with their not finding work, full-time work in their field. So I think the students see that as a barrier. The policymakers tend to make hay of the either what they see as drawbacks or benefits of that, depending on which way the wind's blowing, perhaps. But that political rhetoric piece, certainly we can understand here. And the next story we'll cover will have a similar spin on it related to international graduate students seeking employment. But I think the real rub of this survey is what students see and what policymakers see is one thing, but where the real disconnect, I think, happens in not only as a parent from this Australia example, but also here in the U.S., is how employers aren't always on top of what the visa categories are that that students might be eligible for as it relates to work permission. So the visa or the report did have something to say from Australia on this front. Employer perception and understanding of the 485 visa, which does give students, graduates, full legal rights to work in Australia, but most employers don't know what that visa is. So they have little, and the report concludes, they have little or no awareness. So it's something that I think is not unique to Australia by any stretch, and certainly we see issues related to we see multinational companies in sometimes small towns that have headquarters in small towns in the USA that purposefully do not hire international students for either internships, OPT, or H-1B because they don't see that as a real option for them. They're not aware of what the consequences are. And frankly, in part, it's up to universities that are producing students that might want to work for these companies to do the education piece that, their HR department's going to need to pay up $3,500 to get a student after they're done with OPT onto an H-1B. But that's, again, there's no guarantees there yet. But that's certainly something, maybe an opportunity cost that employers are not willing to pay. So this is a real challenge, I think, for many in international ed that In the International Missions Office, International Student Services Office, that tend to be on the front end and just our head deep in the student day-to-day issues that they deal with it on institutional campuses. I've certainly been in that position, that we don't often have chances to put our heads above the parapet and see the long-term consequences of having these international students come to our campuses, look for jobs on our campus, but also internships and OPT opportunities, and how difficult it really is for them without the end game support from career services to help them prepare students for what they're going to face on the job and employment front. So there's been progress at a lot of schools I know recently on this front, but it's certainly one that's it's an uphill battle, and one that I think we're still kind of finding our way towards understanding all the implications of what having international students on our campus really means long term for our institutions, for our nation, and frankly for this world. So, well, that Australia example is certainly a good one. But the next article is actually one of the largest student surveys I've seen of graduates of institutions. It's coming from out of the UK. Times Higher Ed did a story on this last week where it looked at UK overseas graduate survey. The results are providing what they call final evidence for easing the visa regime. And for those not familiar, back in 2012, Theresa May's government decided to eliminate, when she was Home Secretary, eliminated the post-study work visa in the UK for graduates of UK institutions. So what the story is covering here is the results of their survey that were captured by Universities UK, and it had over 16,000 international graduates from 58 UK institutions representing 189 nationalities. Really a monster survey to capture recent graduates. That it was what they're calling the first report of its kind in the UK to examine the medium-term outcomes of overseas graduates on such a scale. So it was published just last week as well, and Vivian Stern, who's the director of Universities UK, points to this survey as really something that will help get the post-study work visa back into reality for international students in the UK. What's the evidence that they're making that very bold claim that post-study work visa is coming back? So it does, the results tend to indicate that overseas graduates from UK universities do go on to successful and satisfying careers, according to the article. The percentages are 69%, and they said that they progress more quickly in their career than peers educated elsewhere outside of the UK. And 77% were more likely to do business with the UK after studying here. And 88% plan to visit for holidays or leisure. So 82% saying the degree was worth the investment, and 83% that it helped them get their job. So this is whether it was in the UK or elsewhere. So these are certainly landmark results and certainly very positive results for UK higher education for international students. And if you do get a chance to examine the story, I certainly encourage you to do so, because it does really go into some good detail on why now this is seen as a almost a green light for UK ministers, certainly who are going to be voting on, and MPs are going to be voting on whether to re-implement a post-study work visa. It certainly will make the UK a more attractive option than it already is. For international students, certainly non-EU international students in particular, which have been increasingly attracted to UK in the run-up to Brexit, whenever that does happen. So the results certainly of the survey are, I think any major destination country would want these results, to see these kinds of results for their elected representatives, for the folks that run their international education divisions of their ministries of education, obviously we don't have that in the United States, but certainly those that are supporters of international ed, here would certainly need survey data like this that reflects the true value of what a U.S. degree might mean to international students that want to come here. Now, this is the second story in a row this week that I'm talking about outcomes here, outcomes for international students that are coming to the United States or coming to any destination, Australia, UK, wherever it might be, that where they're coming to enhance their job prospects. And that is not just in these survey results that we see, but that look at graduates, but you see that on all prospective student surveys and parent surveys for international students over the last couple, 3 years. You see consistently how important why they want to study in a certain destination country, how important enhancing job prospects are, that path to work after graduation is, how post-study work is, visa opportunities are essential. In the U.S., we have a kind of a hybrid system here, and this is certainly something that we look to strengthen. All of us in international education look to strengthen it and enhance its visibility and fortify what it really means in the United States, because right now we have OPT in either 1 or 3 year increments, depending on whether you're STEM or non-STEM student, per degree level. So we do have a significant, I think, long-term advantage in terms of a work scheme for what we have that's perhaps, certainly Australia doesn't have in terms of a requirement that students get work in their field of study, which I think helps the end result of these, if this kind of a major survey were ever conducted in the United States, other than institutional-based surveys that I know exist, but certainly a broad-based survey. I know there's a company called Sea Turtle that's done something like this on an international scale, comparing different students' outcomes depending on where they studied. But for the U.S. alone, I don't think there has been this kind of a survey, and it's certainly necessary to help revalidate what we all know as international educators, that students who come to us do so to improve their quality of life. They do so to enhance their job prospects, not just for the cultural experience and having that on their resume, but it certainly helps them long term. And certainly the State Department's made much of this over the years with their foreign leaders today, international students yesterday. So that's which shows the number of world leaders. I think a third, right now, the current numbers are a third of all world leaders have studied in the United States at some point. And that is certainly a foreign policy objective of the United States to have these students students from overseas studying here become future world leaders back home. And they have hopefully positive experiences here. And that's all what we are about in international education, is opening the world to those not only on our own campuses who don't get a chance to travel overseas, but also to the world that might come to our campuses and experience U.S. culture and our culture in our campuses. So it's really important, I think, that institutions need to focus on this, but as a nation, we need to be focusing on this as well to streamline the pathway from OPT to H-1B for those that are willing to stay and work more in a more longer-term capacity in the United States, because we do need these students to stay, and particularly in STEM fields where there is a complete dearth of U.S. talent that aren't able to fill the jobs that we have available now. And as we lose competitive advantage in other areas in the world, when our own education system isn't producing the volume that we need, we're forced to look outside to international students or other sources for the talent we need to do the jobs we have. So a very important piece, I think, to keep in mind as we move forward. Certainly looking at the UK, looking at Australia, and some of their recent results in this area certainly can give us some real pause as a nation and as institutions to see what we can do to help improve the end result for our students. And that's what ultimately we're all here for, because if our students don't come, have positive experiences on our campuses in our country, if they don't have that, they're going to make sure that their friends know you might not want to go to the U.S. anymore. So what we do matters, and so on so many levels, whether it's advisors on the front end of the process overseas, like with Education USA, our college counselors overseas that have the important job of helping students find that right fit. We all talk about that in international ed, helping students find that right fit for their studies overseas. And that's something that we have to know what the end results are going to be or can be, and be able to point to documentation and of what that really is, and that students are really satisfied with their experiences from our institutions, from our country, and that we are still a prime destination. Political rhetoric aside, as the case in Australia, it can be a deterrent. But until we recognize it, in terms of what we do and how we do it, and how we project that to our prospective student audiences and their parents, obviously, we're missing a very significant opportunity to really put our best foot forward. Now, final story. We've all heard a lot over the last few years about, particularly since the current administration came to office and even before, there has been a focus on China. Much of the news has not been positive in terms of what the current administration is, their approach. It's been fairly negative. There's a trade war that's widely known that's going on between the U.S. and China. We've covered it here on the Roundup, there have been accusations that Confucius Institutes are being used as arms of the Chinese national security apparatus to do spying work on American campuses, that there are also problems with researchers in sensitive fields that are stealing secrets and sending them back home. So there's all that. And so that's resulted in a couple of concrete steps that the current government has taken to change that. Related to Confucius Institutes, that you may not know that, but there's a U.S. Defense Department Foreign Language Grant Program that does include Chinese language that will not allow institutions that want to maintain this Department of Defense funding to also operate a Confucius Institute because of fears of sensitive technology transfer. There's also been steps put in place so that Chinese students that are in STEM fields, students and scholars in STEM fields that are going for visas are now undergoing much harder scrutiny of 2, 3, 4 months processing time, whereas most students in non-STEM fields from China that are getting visas renewed or looking to come for the first time are only waiting about a week to get their visas. So there's some challenges there. The visa renewals are only for a year for those students in STEM fields, as opposed to a 5-year five-year visas for non-STEM fields, as it was before this change was put into place. So there's a lot going on the international ed side that impacts this. But wanted to take a look at three ways that kind of the higher ed community is fighting back or has been fighting back recently. And Zanetta and Lou, thanks for joining on again. Always good to have you as part of the roundup here. I hope you are both well. And the first article I posted is from a professor, a Chinese-American professor of law at University of California, Hastings College of Law. Frank Wu is his name, and it was in an Inside Higher Ed last week. And it reflects his history. His parents came to the United States from China as graduate students. And then he was born here, and then he's gone through the university system and become a law professor. So he says in the first line, I owe my existence to American higher education. But he's a professor of law now, and he's running through a lot of the things I was just talking about related to FBI investigations and security apparatuses and all of these wonderful things that are really have bedeviled a lot of campuses that have significant Chinese populations. It's a really well reasoned and I think heartfelt message that he puts out that's saying that this all these attacks on China, personal attacks on Chinese students and scholars, are damaging America. And this is in terms of our reputation, in terms of our value in terms of perceptions in China of the United States. So certainly, it's a really short blog guest article for Inside Higher Ed, but certainly a very, very significant one, I think, in terms of portraying how the U.S. is being what we're doing. And the very levels of it, of the kind of the attacks, whether it's outside of just the basic trade war stuff, it's not helping the United States image at all. And so that's something just to be aware of. There's a lot of contradictory stuff that's going on as well, in terms of signs from the government. He's where we talked about last week. Trump was at a G20 summits and having a in a press conference. He said, "No, we want all the Chinese. We want more Chinese students and scholars to come. We need the best and the brightest here. We need a smart person, citizen opportunity." And he's talked about that for those that come for advanced degrees. That's been part of his larger immigration overhaul, that anyone who graduates with an advanced doctoral degree should get from overseas should get a green card automatically. So those things, we hear those and we say, okay, that is totally at odds with everything that you've been doing. So where does the truth really lie? So we'll see. We'll see on that front. But one article I also wanted to link to this is out of China Daily. And I do look at a lot of overseas sources for information for the roundup each week for a variety of reasons. And one of those is just to give my audience a better perspective of what how the world sees us as well. And China Daily is an English language site that does have obviously it's for the Chinese audience, but it does, the title of the article is great, I love it, U.S. Colleges Push Back on Scrutiny of China Students. So this is primarily the main person on the U.S. side that's quoted in the article is Brad Farnsworth. He's the Vice President of Internationalization and Global Engagement for ACE, American Council on Education, and he has a lot of positive things to say that higher ed, international higher ed, is very supportive in the United States of China, of Chinese students, of its scholars that are working here in the United States, despite all the negative implications that the current administration's policies and concerns for what's going on certainly make it a much more challenging environment for obviously U.S. institutions to work. His claim is that the messaging is not consistent across our government. Brad Farnsworth, that's his quote. But he did express significant concerns over student visas for Chinese students and how the delays, particularly for STEM students, had resulted in warnings from the Chinese Ministry of Education that we talked about last month that alerted Chinese applicants on the potential prolonged visa processing and encouraged them to be concerned for their safety as well. The Ministry of Education said that 13.5% of Chinese scholars sponsored by the Chinese government to study in the U.S. were declined student visas, and that's a sharp increase compared to 3.2% same period last year. So that's pretty significant data to an increase of over 10% in the denial rate for Chinese government-sponsored scholars coming to the U.S. So this is, as a result, there are students that have been looking at the United States that are also hedging their bets. They're now looking at other destination countries like the UK, like Canada, like Australia. So, but Farnsworth's response is certainly one that I think many in international ed would share, that we need to send the wider message that that the U.S. college campuses certainly still are welcoming places for students from China, and the more that's certainly a message we cannot shy away from and push back, and we need to push back just like the article says on how important China is to international education here in the United States. So. Final part of this article, of this conversation, relates to a number of institutional presidents that have been pushing back more in general terms against particularly the visa issue, because that's obviously impacting their ability to enroll students or retain students. And we saw presidents from MIT to other prominent institutions over the last few weeks have come out with statements saying that they're basically decrying the Trump administration's immigration policies. That in fact, the Harvard president said that it's causing mass uncertainty for international students that are looking at the U.S. And he goes on in the article to talk about China and the significance of that audience. But president of Harvard, Lawrence Bacow, sent a letter to Secretary of State Pompeo and Homeland Security Acting Secretary McElhinney to talk about his deep concern, quote-unquote, deep concern over growing uncertainty and anxiety around issues involving international students and scholars. That visa delays are making scholars' attendance and engagement at Harvard unpredictable and anxiety-ridden. That the visa policies are mandating increased scrutiny of foreign students and scholars, and sometimes naturalized citizens from certain countries, contributing to substantially mounting concern. So there's a lot here that in this obviously MIT's president also was involved in this in a letter like this to the Trump administration. The president of MIT warned last month of serious long-term costs from the U.S. closing the door to international students. And this is something that I think it's gathering steam, and the impacts are going to be felt certainly on college campuses this fall. They've already been felt certainly from some destination, source countries like Iran, where visas have, even though they're exempt from the travel bans for student visas, they have still been extremely slow in processing those visas for Iranian students looking to come to the United States for their studies. So there's a lot going on here, and certainly encouraging in some small ways to see university presidents kind of taking up the banner and saying, hey, we not just a you are welcome here, where they all sign a letter from NAFSA and ACE that goes to the president and just gets a little splash in the pan, but they're being consistent about it now on a more regular basis, where they're fighting for international education on their campuses, for the international students and scholars that come to their campuses. So very encouraging to see that. I know there's a lot more to come and many miles to go before we sleep on this, and who sleeps nowadays anyway in international ed, but it's always something to keep us on our toes. And certainly encourage you all to stay tuned to the Midweek Roundup every Wednesday. If you can't catch it live, certainly the videos are on the Facebook page, as well as the SMIE Consulting YouTube channel that has a playlist of all these videos, and also on the podcast. So we encourage you to keep in touch with us there, and certainly subscribe to the newsletter so you get all the news first in your mailbox on Mondays. So thanks for joining me, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Cheers.